Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
Be here. I'm glad that you're here. And when I say sixth annual self-help conference here in Louisville, Mississippi, I can say that because when I think about the first self-help cooperative, Save Real America conference that we did, there were no other conferences that we were doing on this level. And I can truthfully say that it's within the past month, we were speaking about outreach, within the past month, we've had Walthall County Self-Help Cooperative Save Rural America Conference. We've had the Self-Help Cooperative Conference in Collins, Mississippi. We've had Waynesboro, Mississippi Self-Help Cooperative Saving Rural America Conference. And now we're here today in Louisville, Mississippi. We have talked to, in those four conferences, we've talked to over 600 people, telling them about our program, explaining things to them about what we do. And it took us some time to get there because what we had to do, we had to get USDA to understand that our programs and our practices, as they were written early on, were not a one-size-fits-all, that it needed to be adjusted. They needed to be adjusted. In other words, we had to take in consideration that there were social factors involved in administering our program. And for that reason, we were missing a lot of people. We had to think about legal matters. We had to think about social matters. We had to think about education. We had to think about policy. We had to think about a lot of things. And we had to think about economics. And we had to think about those people who had smaller acreage who were missing the boat on our program. USDA has put money out there. And based on those four conferences and today in this conference, as usual, we have seen that if you build it, they will come. So the one thing that allows us to get our programs on the ground is more than money, and it's more than just government workers. It's community-based organizations, those people who can touch farmers, ranchers, landowners, to let them know about what we are doing. My name is Wilson Murray, and I serve the Natural Resources Conservation Service in the area of outreach, making sure that we try and get crowds to hear us talk about our program. Today, I would like to present to you area conservationists for NRCS in Mississippi from Area 1, and he's going to talk about the difference between qualifying for programs maybe some years back early on, and then what we've done today to satisfy the needs of small farmers, ranchers, and landowners in Mississippi. Mr. Hurd, Tom Hurd.
Thank you, Mr. Hurd. Again, my name is Tom Hurd. I work with Natural Resource Conservation Service out of Tupelo, Mississippi. NRCS is an agency within the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We work with farmers, landowners, on all types of natural resource problems. Everything we do is tied back to improving the environment, whether it's putting in a pond for additional water for your cattle, helping a small landowner improve his farm for goats or for sheep. If you have specialty crops, we're in a position now where we can work with a really diverse set of farmers and landowners. When I started with this agency in the late 70s, I worked over in the Mississippi Delta in Greenville. In Washington County, Greenville, at that time there were about 300 farmers, and there was about 350,000 acres of cropland. So we were dealing with farmers that, you know, the average size was something over 1,000 acres. But that's who our clients were at the time. And that was our focus. Large farms, that's who we were, U.S. Department of Agriculture. And as time has gone on, we've seen a real shift. We saw a large shift of people moving away from the farm, and now we're seeing people move back to the farms, like Mr. and Ms. Miller that are here. Going off, made a life, and but when you got ready to retire, you came home. And now they're in the cattle business, they're in the vegetable crop business. And that's, we, NRCS and USDA recognizes that we have a new clientele. There's been a segment of the population, a segment of the farm community that we really didn't offer, we didn't have a lot of services to offer to them. Well, in the last, gosh, over the last 15 years or so, we, and when I say we, USDA, Farm Service Agency, Natural Resource Conservation Service, the Extension Service, recognize that there's, that we can assist you, that we need to make sure you understand what services we offer, the assistance that we can give you so that you can make a type of living off your farm, or at least you are able to maintain and preserve your family farm. I just had a discussion with a gentleman from over in Alabama that still lives on his family farm, his air property, and he's concerned about how to deal with the other landowners working through us, the other members of his family, and we discussed what he needs to do with Farm Service Agency, how to go in there and work through their process of getting all his farm records up to date. Once upon a time, it would have been a real nightmare in a situation like that. Today, we recognize that those situations exist, and it's, you know, there's a reason to have rules, but there's also a reason to make the rules flexible enough so that we're not reducing access to people who need our help, who want our help. So, you know, again, it's a change. You know, you think about how the world has changed in the last 10 years or the last 12 years. We've gone through terrorist attacks, and now we're, you know, we went through a recession, the economy is bad, you know, and now we're coming back. Well, in all of those, if those made changes, so has USDA. I feel like we made the changes that will help us assist you, whether you're a large farmer, small farmer, whether you're a beginning farmer, resources are limited. We're ready to assist you to reach your goals in your farming operation, whether it's row crop, cattle, sheep, goat, truck garden. You know, if we have a lot of opportunities and a lot of the skills and to help you reach those goals. And that's one of the things we do is we help individual farmers, landowners, reach their goals. Because we can tell you what to do. We don't want to tell you what to do. You have a plan, you have a goal, you have a desire. That's what we want to help you do. Thank you.
thank you, Tom. In addition to rules and regulations being changed, a lot of times, you know, if we look at it right now, we can see a big difference between the monies that we have to operate and to put out here for small farmers, landowners, and ranchers, as opposed to the kind of money that we had, say, maybe 15, 20 years ago. To talk about that is Mr. Delma Stamps, who's the resource conservation, state resource conservation for natural resource conservation in Mississippi. Mr. Stamps.
Good morning. Good morning. I guess it's still morning. It's still morning. Kind of caught guard here, but anyway, I'm Delma Stamps, State Resource Conservation with the Natural Resources Conservation Service. Trying to talk about some of our conservation programs. We heard about some of them earlier, and I was walking around, listening to the conversation that Mr. Butler was talking about Southern University. So I'm a graduate of Alcorn State University, and there are a lot of good careers in agriculture. You know, many times we shy away from those careers that had a past that was not all that glamorous. But I'm telling you, you like the outdoors, you can, for the students that are here, you can really find satisfaction working with any of the agriculture agencies, forestry agencies in Mississippi or throughout the country. So for you young folks out there, Frank's got a really good job of networking, and really we are really blessed to be here, in my opinion, in Winston County, Mississippi. The Winston County Self-Help Cooperative is recognized throughout the country for what the work they're doing. So I don't see the members and the citizens in this area have a problem accessing any of the USDA programs. Frank and the president and others are going to make sure that they know what's going on and get the information back to you. So I applaud you and Frank and others here for being here today and the work that you do across the year. I've been up on some of those Monday afternoon, Monday evening work sessions that you all have. So DG and NRCS is just happy to be a partner with the Winston County Self-Help and other organizations here in Winston County and in East Central Mississippi. Conservation program. You know, so much of what we do now is program driven, but there are another side of NRCS that's not a program at all. We call our conservation technical assistance. We are limited in staff. We can't get out on every farm like we used to, but still, if there are specific needs that you have on your farm that fit within the mission of the Natural Resources Conservation Service, Jerry and Ms. Lynn and all up here, they are still available to help you identify your resource concerns that may align with, you know, a program that provides financial assistance. We cut our teeth in being a technical organization, and that's where we want to maintain our technical expertise, but we're challenged many times are driven by the program so much. So conservation planning is the core of what we want to be about. So if there are needs that you have that you're not ready at this point in time to put the financial dollars into addressing, we can still come out and work with you and develop a comprehensive plan that you can start chopping away and address those concerns on an annual basis or whenever you're ready and able to carry out those practices to make sure that your land resources out there are sustainable. So with that said, I'm going to pause there and give it back to Wilson, and I'll be around
in the event there are questions. We want to thank Mr. Sam for that message. He said a key word there, and that is sustainability. We cannot help you turn your 50-acre farm into a 500-acre farm, but we can help you have the best 50-acre farm that you can have with what we do, our practices and our programs. So outreach is the key. Meetings like this, they're the key. If we can have the people here, if you will go by the office, like you've heard, I don't know, probably 1,500 times today, go by the office, talk to folks, establish a relationship. I think, as a matter of fact, I know that you can get information that will be helpful to you on your farm. Now, we're going to talk about the healthy cook-off with Ms. Janice Hopkins.
Go right ahead.
Ms. Hopkins.
Good morning. On behalf of the Coalition for Healthy Winston County, we work with Healthy for God, Healthy Faith-Based Ministries. We're working with 8 churches this year. We have 4 churches that participated in the Healthy Cook-Off. Would the churches please come forward? We have Union Chapel represented by Maxine Coburn and Stacey Farmer. Calvary Apostolic, Anita Robertson. Mount Moriah, L.C. Hines. Mount Sinai, Linda Hampton, Beatrice Miller. And Brenda Johnson and myself, Dennis Hopkins, work as liaisons for the Appalachian Regional State through ARC. This is our 3rd year of a 5-year grant. Our winners today, first place goes to church number 3, whoever that is, Mama Rye.
Yay, Dan.
2nd place, Union Chapel. And 3rd place, Calvary Apostolic. I have certificates for all of the churches, and it reads, Winston County Self-Help Cooperative Certificate of Achievement, presented to Calvary Apostolic Church for participating in the 6th Saving Rural America Conference Healthy Cook-Off on this 23rd day of February 2013. Our coalition brought ingredients for all of the churches and is through strengthening communities to prevent diabetes in Appalachia's vulnerable population. Frank Taylor, WCSHC team leader, and thank you.
Okay, now we have announcements. Let's give them a hand. Let's give them a big hand. And now we'll have announcements.
The coalition received a $500 grant from Walmart and the Conger Alpha Foundation. So Monday and Wednesday of next week, which is the 25th and the 27th, we're doing tours at Walmart. They're called Smart Shopping. We need 25 participants. On Monday, we'll do tours at 10 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. We're trying to get 6 participants at 10, 6 at 2. And again, on Wednesday, we'll do the same schedule at 10 and again at 2. At the end of your tour, you will be given an assignment. You will shop in the store and purchase $10 worth of items, and we will pay for that. The purpose is to show you how to shop for healthy eating. We will do unit pricing, label reading, whether to buy fresh, frozen, or canned goods. So if you know someone that would like to participate, please let me know. Thank you.
Okay. We have some good news here. We thought that our guest speaker today, we kind of heard that he had been called to the White House by President Barack Obama, but he managed to put him off for a minute or two. And I'd just like to introduce him so that he can do his thing. Our guest speaker is charged with administering a natural resource conservation program for the state of Mississippi. He has also served in the position of acting associate chief for NRCS from 2010 to 2012. He has worked for the agency for more than 30 years. Other positions that he's held include budget officer in Massachusetts, assistant financial manager and fiscal specialist in Washington, D.C., head administrative staff, South National Technical Center, at Fort Worth, Texas, and acting state conservation. These positions were held with USDA, NRCS, and Dr. Wilson is a graduate of Jackson State University, Jackson, Mississippi, with an MBA in managerial finance and business management. He has completed his doctoral degree in public policy and administration in May of 2006 from Jackson State University. He is a candidate in the USDA Senior Executive Service, Candidate Development Program, American University, 2008. In addition to that, I can truthfully say that he is a friend to the small farmer, because he's told me more than once. He said, if we can't help the small farmer, landowner, and others, who will help them? He has told me that more than once. So without further ado, I'm going to present to you our guest speaker for today, the State Conservation for Natural Resource Conservation Service in Mississippi, Dr. Homo Wilkes. Dr. Homo Wilkes.
Thank you very much. I'm going to be loud, and I really apologize. I want to get around home, and normally that's what I, try to do. But we have almost three sons, and my wife has the opportunity now to travel with me. And that's all I got to say about that. The bottom line is that she's here, and I want to say good morning, first of all, to this particular group out here. And I... we're in the middle of Black History Month. We also just celebrated the birthday of celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King. So it's very, very appropriate that we have an opportunity to have a governing church of this nation. Because as I talk to Mr. Taylor over and over again, I want to tell you that this guy is serious about the business of trying to make sure that we save rural America. And having said that, Frank will. All of you all that work with him on a daily basis know that he's committed and he can get the fire fired up in your belly. I mean, that's his phrase word. There's a lady that was actually here I saw about December. She's not here this morning, but she's some 90 years old that actually participated in this program. And I was just really in awe as I visited with her and talked about the things that she's actually doing. She's still out on the forefront at 90 plus years old. The other concern I really have in applause this particular group for is having Ms. Harper, the youth director. I've had a chance to understand and be familiarized with the type of things that Winston Self-Cooperative is actually doing. So I want to also applaud this particular group on those two efforts. But, no matter how big or how small a group is, you got to have leadership. You got to have leadership. And I'm reminded of, Alonzo and Peggy Miller. But, I was reading an article, I guess sometime ago, not too long ago, last year at the Farm Bureau. And that group was talking about, they came back here from Texas some years ago, and actually, not too long ago, 3 or 4 years ago, I don't know how long ago, 4 years ago. But what happened is that they actually got hooked up with this group and what difference that has made in their lives. So that's just telling me what the community is actually doing out there. But one important thing, and there were a lot of things were actually said in that particular article, but it talked about the leadership and the vision that you got to have. And they pointed to this guy that always talks about having fire in the belly, Frank Taylor. And I'm not here to praise Frank Taylor because what he does, he's committed to the youth and saving real America. But I do want to give people flowers while they are living. And Frank, my hat goes off to you. But based on having that leadership and that vision and pushing folks like myself that's actually in the United States federal government that we have a responsibility to make sure that our programs are available to all people. And I just want to say thanks for those particular efforts. But let me just tell you what I really want to talk about. I really want to talk about what you all are actually doing in the youth. Some 10 years ago, this cooperative had some 35 adults in the PICS program. And today, there's some 75 adults, and more important, there's some 110 youth that's actually involved in this program. Let me tell you something. We see a lot of things going ill in this particular country nowadays, but it's going to take that community to actually make things better. And I want to say this is what I see this group doing. There's a community effort that's actually involved here to make these things happen. And those youth out there, I'm looking around this particular arena, I see that there's youth that's sitting around, and they have been taking part of these programs for some while. And that's so critical and important. And I want to go back a little bit about my history. I grew up in Port Gibson, Mississippi, a small community where people actually join together and work together. I think you're seeing that go away from the side. When my parents would kill an animal, a hog, a goat, or a deer, everyone in the community had a piece of the meat. I mean, everybody may have a small piece, but everybody had a piece. And that's what I see that's taking place in this community. People are joining together. You come together, and no matter what action that's out there, that we need to get information and education out to the folks. I see these folks, these green shirts on that talk about the Winston County Self-Help Corporate. You all come in numbers. You come in numbers, and that's important. And that means that's the cocoon of the community is actually it's alive and well. It's alive and well. And I'm reminded that the problems that we have in society today, it's not a youth problem. It's an adult problem. And the reason I say that is because we have shown our responsibility as adults. And sometimes as a member of the African-American community and knowing some of the struggles that have taken place from folks like Dr. Martin Luther King and others, I'm somewhat ashamed that maybe I haven't done enough. And that's why I'm committed to helping groups like this so we can have that legacy out there. And it's nice to see that this community embraces all kinds, whether you're white, black, Native American, or whatever, because I've seen the group go out there and work with folks. And that's what we got to be about. We got to be about the community. We got to make sure that the legacy that we will pass on from our forefathers, that we pass on to the next generation. We got to do that. Because sometimes we have a tendency to want to blame the youth for the problems of the day. But let's just be real. It's not the youth problem. It's our problem. Because we as adults have a responsibility to make sure that the youth are trained in a manner that they should go. And I could go on and on. And I was this past week, a couple weeks ago, I had a chance to attend a ceremony at Alcorn State University. And the speaker there was two people that, there's a lot of folks there, but two people that really stood out to me. If you know anything about the Children's Legal Defense Fund, you have Marion Elderman Wright, who is the founder of that particular program. She's a staunch supporter of the youth. And she talks about what we need to do in holding people accountable. Taking our youth to church, taking them to the school activities, having them participate in programs such as this, whereby they can get exposed to the legislators out there. And one thing about it, I look around, and I know when I was growing up that I was a pretty rough fella. You know, the whole neighborhood had to embrace me, and everybody watched me from where my house was to the end of the road, where, you know, we take from Jennifer Johnson on one end down to Aunt Sally at the other end. And whereby I couldn't do no wrong in between that. And that's what I see that this community is actually doing with the youth. You're bringing them, you're taking them, and you're sharing with them the type of activities that need to take place. So, you know, we talk about conservation legacy and all those type of things and all trying to fix things after the fact. I'm still convinced that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. If you can prevent these things from happening early on, then you won't need to cure. And I look around and I think about Columbine. I mean, let's think about some of those things right here. I look around and I think about Newtown. And we don't have to go very far because some years ago there was an incident that took place in Pearl, Mississippi. But let's face it, our problem is not an adult or youth problem, it's an adult problem. We need to interact with kids. We need to know where they are. We need to make sure that they're doing the right thing. And there's nothing wrong with a good, strong work ethic. If these kids get involved and work it early on, you know, I have to go back to the story that I had. My father told me that I could have anything I wanted to have if I was willing to work. And I think that's still true today. If we can train these youth up in a way that we want them to be, you know, we may stray, but they'll come back. They'll come back. So I was very pleased to see that that was in this year's theme as far as making sure that we involve the youth and we get them involved in those activities. And from where I sit, from the standpoint of the state conservation in the state of Mississippi, we have a lot of programs and a lot of activities out there, and we need to make sure that those programs are very much accessible to the consistent groups that's out there. And you all, this group in this room here, have a shared responsibility with the U.S. federal government is to make sure these kids are exposed to the activities and that you help them get involved with programs at an early age. And some of the money we're spending as far as conservation measures and things of that nature, if they have that conservation ethic at a young age, when they get older, they will have to make sure that the environment is actually conserved and protected. So keep on keeping on. I mean, I came here with a major I had my preach on this morning because as I was traveling from Jackson, Mississippi, you know, I was just reminiscing and thinking about the opportunities and the things that have been afforded me. I've been afforded so many opportunities in life, but I had some folks out around my parents this year. You know, Ms. Jenny Lagonson, Ms. Mary Ella D, and those types of folks. I'm sure we have some Ms. Mary Ella D and Ms. Millers and Ms. Hoppers around here, Pips, and those folks out there that we have these youth here, and we have an opportunity to make a difference in their lives. Now, I can talk to you about the NRCS programs, but I'm sure you've already heard about that. But that wasn't my role. Frank Hale will make sure that we make those available to you. And all of our staff, they are willing and ready to come out and help you whenever you need help. Frank, I'm remembering some years ago that we met at the, I guess it was the Extension Building, and we worked up, and I think it was probably the first computer that this co-op had. We brought a computer there, and we put it in an office, and this particular cooperative is just taken completely off. And what I like about this cooperative and the membership and the folks that's in this community, you don't mind sharing. You share your information, you share your wherewithal, you share your intellect, your knowledge, skills, and abilities with other groups, and they're taking advantage of it. This particular self-help cooperative is known around these United States. And the reason you're known around these United States is because you're doing something. I mean, you can complain and talk about what you don't have and those type of things, but I never heard that. All I hear is that, give us a little bit more, and we, if we give us a little, we can do a lot. And that's, I think, that's the attitude that was actually have been shared here and communicated. And I don't want to stand between lunch and some other actions that you may have, but I do want to say this. I'm a firm believer that as we, you know, look at the actions and look at the type of things that's going on in this country, it's going to take these type of community efforts. It's going to take these type of groups in order to bring this country back to where they are need to be. Because I'm convinced that it does take a village to raise the child. No one can do it on their own. And for the youth that's out there, I'm glad to see that you all actually here. For those other agencies that are actually out here, thank you all for coming. And more importantly, thank the attendance here. I mean, I, as a federal employee and the rest of us around here, whether you're federal and state, we get paid to do this. But you guys come here and you do it, you know, at free will. You're the best volunteers in the world because I know that you all know the importance of making sure that these youth have the opportunity and they are made aware of some of the programs that's available. Because if you get them out of the land and you get them involved with those type of things, they won't shy away from it because they have a love for the land. If you have a love for the land and the natural resources, things will be all right. It will really be all right. And I'm reminded of a point, and I think I know one verse of it, the most important verse of it as far as I'm concerned, and that is live your creed. And it goes something like this. I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than just to show the way. The eyes are better pupils and more willing than the ear. Advice may be misleading, but examples are always clear. And what you all are doing is giving these folks an example of what needs to take place in the countryside, so they can be the citizens that we need to carry this country forward. So Mr. Taylor and the membership of this organization, I want to applaud you for your efforts. I want to applaud you for having actions like this. I want to applaud you for getting the youth out and getting them involved with this process. Because if you keep on keeping on, I think you'll be in good shape. So it does my heart good to know that I'm getting to be, you know, I don't have gray hairs yet, but I have a few miles on me. And one of these days, I'm going to lay this baton down and pass to the next generation. We all are. So So we need to be prepared and getting people ready to do that. And this particular group, you are doing this. Again, I want to thank you for the invite here. I'll be around to answer some questions. I wish I'd have gotten here a little earlier, so I could have had some little dialogue with the group. But again, I got a slow start this morning, and Satan tried to get on me. I was loving to feel my best, and on the way up here, my wife gave me some great text and stuff and tried to get me halfway prepared. But let me tell you, I'm just glad to actually be here. Kim, you need to stand up. I told him about our endeavor down here. My wife, Kim, she's traveling with me nowadays, and it's nice to have. Thank you all. But we are committed. We've been enormously blessed to have three sons, Delton, Austin, Harrison, and they are now 20, 21, and 28 years old. And let me tell you, it's a pretty good feeling that you don't have to go to jail and visit these guys. And I have to give her the credit, because when I was traveling around the United States and doing all these type of things, someone had to stay there and make sure those children got what they need to do. And kids spell L-O-V-E-T-I-M-E. We have to give them that time, and we have to spend that with them, because we as adults get caught up sometimes with the materialistic stuff. But they come, all they want is our time. And if you can get them out there on the landscape and having them working towards these efforts, I think we'll be better off. Again, thank you all for this opportunity. And if anything that we at USDA NRCS can do, we're willing, ready, and hopefully able. And again, any organization needs good leadership. And I want to applaud again Mr. Taylor for the vision that he had some years ago to continue to keep this group coming together and doing what we need to do. And I think you all know that better than I do, because you all work with him every day. But it takes all of you all to make this a success. And again, thank you.
Come on, thank Dr. Wilson. Let's give him another hand here, man. Dr. Wilson, I've been asked to present this token of appreciation, but it also carries with it some other stuff. You are now an official honorary member of the Winston County Self Help Cooperative. Let's give them a hand.
Thank you,
guys. On behalf of Clint Taylor and the Winston County Self Help Cooperative, you are a member.
Well, let me just tell you all, from our wedding tree with a lot of pride, because I'm here to tell you that anywhere and everywhere I've been, and I see those folks at Green Church, you all represent Mississippi and the Winston County community very well. I'm very, very proud. And thank you all for this membership. I really, really appreciate your membership.
Okay. Do you have some questions? He's willing and ready to answer some questions. Okay?
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. I'll be around. Let's do that, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Frank, I want to do one other thing, and it's probably been announced and talked about here. We are, and Frank pushes me. You're talking about fire to bell. You can get your fire up by the place. He pushes me. And that's a good thing. We have, I don't know how public it is yet, but we are working on a situation where we have a small remnant program that's been started in Mississippi. One of the things I really want to do is that, you know, this secretary, and I will say on behalf of Secretary Vilsack and our acting chief, Jason Weller, one of the tenets that they really have is try to make sure that small limited resource farmers, and social disadvantaged farmers have an opportunity to get in business, stay in business, and sustain themselves. So I saw this guy had 6,000 goats out there, and goats would eat anything. And I really got turned on by that endeavor, because what it told me is that we have a lot of cutover land that's around Mississippi that's actually not being utilized or being underutilized. So I worked with staff, Mr. Devil's staff there, Wilson and Craig Reedus and others, to talk about what kind of program can we actually have in Mississippi to try to help bring new and beginning farmers into the business. So what happened, we have decided that we will do perimeter fencing on anywhere from maybe 10 to 15 acres to try to help folks get water and those type of things. Because one of the biggest issues that I've found in talking to the small-scale farmers
is that that perimeter fencing is very, very expensive. And for them to get into business, it's going to take a heavy, it's going to be a heavy lift. So we implemented a program, probably the first time out, we're going to pilot it, to see if we can't get some folks that may be interested in the goat business. I'm not so, the goats are a very lucrative process. I'm here to tell you one goat can probably have up to 3 litters a year. I mean, these folks down there got it down to a science. So I just looked up, yeah, 10 goats before the year's over, there was a strong possibility you could have 25 or 30 of them. Now, what we want to do is to see if we can't help you get started. Now, I'm not going to try to keep you in business. We're going to try to help you get started in it, and it's up to you to invest back into your home place to expand your operation. The other thing is that we're working with a particular group that even have a marketing plan whereby, you know, you can get out there and sell gold on the 4th of July and those type of things, but it's got to be better than that. And small farms have to have a marketing strategy whereby they can actually have a marketing for these particular animals too. Now, what these folks do, if you would like to see it work kind of like what you all already doing with Healthy International, and that is that if you take a goat, they may be able to give you 4 or 5 goats, and the NRCS and USDA help you with perimeter fencing, and then you take care of those animals and make sure they get to a stage where they can go to market. And once they go to market, you know, these things are selling anywhere from $85 to maybe $100 on the hook. And that's a pretty good price for goats. If you do that a few times, I think you can have enough dollars to sustain yourself. So I just wanted to mention that. I'm working with Ms. Taylor to try to get some folks interested. And we're going to have a meeting where we can sit down and we're going to have these folks come in and talk to you about that. And if they have folks interested, follow with Ms. Taylor on that because I think there's an opportunity out there. And I will assure you that the NRCS, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, will do what they can in order to try to help you with that initial investment. That's the perimeter fencing. And most of the folks, limited resource farmers, they will qualify what is considered a 90% call share. We don't pay for things, but we call share. So if a factory costs $100, we'll try to pay $90 up there, and it's up to you to come up with the 10. Now, you may be able to get some of that stuff through working time. I mean, if you got a strong back and don't mind getting your hands dirty, you probably can come up with that other 10% here. So we're going to work on whatever process we possibly can to make that work. I just wanted to make sure I put that out there. And this would be a good project to get those youth involved because those, you know, they can get out of anything. But, you know, if you play some time with them and you feed them, they probably won't want to get out. So I can see some young boys and girls out there really getting involved in this process here. And Ms. Plus are all going through that extension program. They have some youth loans and things, and they get involved with that process here because agriculture is not bad. You know, I know a lot of folks think that in my generation and before associated agriculture with a mule and plow. But bottom line, I've never seen a farm boy or a farm girl go hungry. So if you own the farm and living off the land, you need to know what you're eating, and you'll always have food. And that's my plug today for this project here. Yes, sir. Within 6 months for sure. Delma, you know where we are on the list here. You know where we are on the 4th of Small Rumble program? For the radio, Bill, Sam, what's the question about the small remnant program? Yes, I do.
But stay tuned, and your local DC or technician will actually get here and actually make sure that you get the information that's needed. As a matter of fact, Frank, what I'd like to do is let's get this group together, and let's have a real rollout. It seems like you have an interest. And I know when we first met you, there was some issue about the cutover of land and forests. I think these would be good grounds if we put those animals on.
All right. Is it off question? All right, we got one comment here. Come on, pig.
I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. And on behalf of my husband and I, Alonzo Miller and myself, I would just like to thank Mr. Will for the work and the efforts that you're putting forth on the state level as administrator. Because of what you're doing, we were able to take advantage of a lot of the practices within RCS, and it has really helped us a lot. It's given us a jump start on our goal. folks, and we're able to be further along than we would have without the services of the NRCA. So we just want to say thank you and appreciate the work that you've done and how we benefit from it. And we just encourage others to go down to the local NRCS offices and find out what practices and initiatives that they have in place and let them know what they want to do, what their goals are on the form, and just sit down and talk to them. And that's what we did, and we came away with a lot of assistance and a lot more knowledge than we had at first. They let us know what practices they had in place. They fit them into what we wanted to do. They came out to our form, and they looked over the place and gave us suggestions and ideas and worked with us on putting everything together. So, again, we just want to say thank you for your efforts, and it is flowing downstream, so, and we're able to benefit from it, and we appreciate it very much.
Very good. And you can't ask for a better endorsement than that, because you have a real live person here who's gone into our office and made and have received benefits of the program. And I can tell you that these folks that have received this. I want you to grab your Farm Bureau magazine. If you're not a member, get a copy of that, because there's a very good article in there. And it was just talking about how farmers are coming back to this land and making a difference and making a living on it. And I think if you continue to see that kind of effort there, these youth will have something to do and a place to live for generations to come.
All right, give me a hand.
Thanks again, Dr. Wilson, chairman of the small farmer. Mr. Harper.
Hey, give me my TV.
Last chance on the television?
She good, she good.
Anyone else? Okay, I need one young person. Tell them to do it for me.
Come here. Okay.
Okay, I got some. How many do you want?
I got a blank one in there. They mixed up now.
Third up down there.
Here we go.
Safety top five.
All right.
We just like to thank Stacy so much for just giving donations, because our youth deserves this donation. Thank you. So, Frank will get a picture of you in the television.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right, people, we've had a great time, and I am excited that it absolutely is over. But, however, in the process, we've had a great time here today and yesterday. We want to thank all individuals for participating. Hopefully, we may do this again in 2014. Mr. Wilk, to your staff and all individuals here, to Jim from Alabama, make sure I stop in on your way out. Focus, this is important to mention, all Florida State University, all the other senators, all other individuals for being here on this wonderful day. Have you all had a great time? I absolutely say, right, you are not listening to Say World America here in Louisville, Mississippi, at the Louisville Coliseum with the Wisconsin Central State of World America Conference. And I said, we are elated as we continue to move forward in 2013. Mr. Wilk, we're changing Mississippi agriculture in 2013 and then starting here with all the youth and all other individuals. And we will continue to move forward to make it happen for all individuals, not only here, but throughout the state of Mississippi and other places. So, again, we want to thank you all for being here, and we're going to continue the broadcast. But, however, we have lunch. It is over in the kitchen. Make sure you get the plate. There's more than enough for everybody. Enjoy. Make sure that you put all the trash in the trash can. All right? Thank you all very much, and we'll see you all back here in 2014. All right? All right, and as we continue the conversation, we're going to take it all over, and we're going to have a roundtable discussion with NRCS. We're going to have Mr. Homer Wilson and others here. So we're going to continue the conversation right now. And Mr. Wilson has CJ, we got you there in the hot seat. All right. As we broadcast, Mr. Wilson, what other entities you want to talk about through NRCS that people need to be aware of? Go ahead.
Still, thank you for the opportunity that you all and this support is affording the Natural Resource Conservation Service. You know, we have a competitive effort to make sure that our programs are made available to all around the state of Mississippi and the United States. We are the Natural Resource Conservation Service Department of Agriculture, and we have the same programs in all 50 states. But I have to tell you, the effort that this co-op is making for Mississippi, for NRCS in Mississippi, it makes my job a lot easier, because what happens is that I have an opportunity to outreach to people and through this network, people are made aware of our programs, whether it be through the EQIP program, the Environmental Policy Center program, our WRP program, our small remnant program that's a part of EQIP. Whether it's just in our technical systems, you know, oftentimes you have the farmers, just like I was talking about the DeMillo's bill, they talk about being able to go down to the NRCS office and find out what was available, and not only can we provide finances, but we can provide technical systems. You know, we have the money to help with the college of practices, but at the same time, we have people that have technical knowledge that can actually help those individuals with an opportunity. And I hate to say this problem, but there may be a resource concern that's actually on their particular home place, whether it's erosion or water quality issue or just having a technical system from the standpoint of our DLPR program, just on fencing. So we hope that we are able to continue to provide those services, but it's through venues like this that folks are aware of our program. See, oftentimes, our program is not made available to John Key Public. We get out there as a federal government and an agency to have these programs available, but if we don't have anybody participating in them, then they're not worth anything. But through a venue such as this nature here, people know about the NRCS, they know about the partnership effort that we have with Runcie County Self-Help Cooperative, and they know they can come to our office in all 82 counties and visit with a local district conservationist or technician and come out to the home place and make some things happen. So thank you for those efforts.
Okay, Homer, we know that you all have rolled out several state initiatives and national initiatives. Talk about the national CIG.
Okay, well, what has happened is that with the National Conservation Innovation Grant, better known as CIG, what those efforts are is that we have tried to work with community-based organizations or universities or particular landowners. And the purpose of those particular conservation innovation grants is something to equip. But what hopefully can happen with those is that we sit down and try to find out, okay, is there an opportunity on something out there for a natural resource concern that we can call share on and demonstrate and pilot it. And what we do with that, we provide 50% of the cost here to an individual or entity that wants to participate, and we take that technology and transfer it to someone else. One of the things about the Conservation Innovation Grant, we hopeful that it will eliminate some of the calls to that particular landowner or vendor out there who's trying to do some things, and we try to demonstrate it on the ground, and we can show what that actually would be. So the Conservation Innovation Grant, okay, well, innovative ideas that can actually be utilized in order to help put conservation practices on the ground or help resolve some of our water quality issues, whether it be soil erosion, whether it be soil health, and those types of things. So that's a big part, and I strongly encourage folks to participate in that. Now, even though it's a 50% match, some of that work can be done in kind. We need to really make a concerted effort to see what we can do from a small farmer's perspective. Because there are some unique things that may come up over the small farms that may not happen to large farms. So we hope for that we can have a variety of those conservation innovation grants so that we can take from all folks from all sizes. Because one thing about we're trying to make sure that our programs are size neutral. Whether you have 10 acres, 5 acres, or 500 or 5,000 acres, we hope that this will afford an opportunity for us to try to find ways to work through those resource concerns so we can make conservation happen on the ground.
Okay, what is that? Is that a free proposal? Is that a formal request for proposal? And when is the timeline on that?
Well, as a matter of fact, it was announced this week. It's always good to have a free proposal because what that affords us opportunity to do is for you to work with that local state conservation and find out what it is that's trying to address. And once you do that, once that comes out, it goes to Washington, D.C., and we get a feel for what type of things are being requested. And what the pre-proposal does for the individuals that are making the application, it gives them an idea of this something that the federal government is willing to work on. And so they don't have to go through a whole blown-out process. So that's why the pre-proposal is actually there. And then the RFP, the Request for Proposal, full proposal, is actually you're invited to fill that one up after the pre-proposal process is over. But right now, we're actually in the process of taking those applications those proposals. I think it started this past week. I just ended up sending one out on yesterday, making sure that folks in Mississippi is made aware of it. And I want to make sure that we can accomplish that to this particular group, since you guys do such a good job of making sure people are aware of the various things and sign up opportunities there. So we'll get that to you this particular week, next week. I'll ask an employee, or I'll get that to you. Make sure you help us get the word out, because folks need to understand this is a taxpayer fund, and we need to have everybody participating in this particular process.
And that is great, Homer. And we did receive your personal email. We're going to make sure that we share this information with other groups, not only here in the state, but on our national network. And, Homer, we do appreciate the services that not only from the state office, but the local employees here in the county has done an exceptional job in helping our people understand what the programs are and how to get involved and learn how to actually implement the process, not only at the implementation of it, but it's following up with these landowners. And we do appreciate that. And one thing I can say that from the day I met you more than 20 years ago, you've been working to fortify that small farmers in this state have access to the services. And that is key for us because we have most of the farmers here are less than 7 acres. So the program that through the state office that you all have been able to develop has been so beneficial for us here in Washington County.
Point, let me just say, and I want to thank you guys, because if you all don't let us know what the needs are, then we cannot address them. And it's through efforts of this nature that you come and you bring your group there and we sit down with you all and groups like this to tell us, okay, what are the needs out there in the countryside? You know, we can sit there in our program. At one time, they were not size neutral. They just was not. But through the leadership of our chief and this secretary, you know, he's making a concerted effort to make sure that small farmers as well as all farmers have an opportunity to participate. And that makes my job a lot easier. But we're going to have to, you know, we've got to keep the partnership going that we have. Working groups such as the one that we have here in Lincoln County, and then the agencies, and making sure you guys hold us accountable. You all are taxpayers, and if we're not delivering the service that you all need, then we're not doing our job. So thank you all for the effort that you all work with. And it's easy to work with a group like you all because you all have a love for the land. You have the type of participation that we need, and we're talking about sustainability. And whatever we can do that, work with these groups that you all are doing here right now, it makes our job easy. And, Frank, it's hard not to work with an individual like yourself because you inspire folks. You inspire folks and you motivate others to do the right thing for the right reasons because this is God has given us a charge to lead these natural resources better than we found them. And you always remind us of that. But we're just stewards of the land, and we need to make sure that we try to do the best we possibly can to make sure those improvements are taking place and that we leave this place better off. Because like little Johnny that we talked about earlier today, it's just so important that you have an opportunity, and little Sue's and little Mills out here, and have an opportunity to enjoy good clean water, you know, healthy soil, fresh air. That's our responsibility, and there's no greater responsibility that can be given to mankind than protect, conserve, and keep these natural resources for generations to come.
Okay. As far as we know in this, either you are Wilson, we know that we're currently in the first ranking of 2013. Now, either one of you can update us on the status of the ranking as of right now in space.
Let me tell you what happened. We are the first of the ranking, and what I just did on yesterday, I just allowed the folks to have one more week for the sign-up, Frank. That was some for the inclement weather and things of that nature that took place on the Gulf Coast and other places around. You know, we have rainy conditions. We want to make sure that as many people as possible will actually have an opportunity to sign up and get ranked at. And so we have extended that for another week. So people need to get in there, get busy, sign up. And we're going to rank those applications and then make sure that we have out there. Not only the ranking, Frank, I want to tell you that a little bit about, you know, where we are. You know, everybody's talking about the sequestration and all those types of things. But I want to put a plug in for that over the years that not here, only here in Mississippi, but other places, the USDA NRCS, we have tried to do some things administratively so that we could provide this. The Congress passed right now they're working. They're middle of working on the 08 farm bill, the 12 farm bill. The 08 farm bill was extended for one more year, so that meant that we had mandatory dollars that was actually allocated to the state of Mississippi. And I have to tell you, we're in pretty good shape in Mississippi as far as having financial system dollars to do those types of things. So there shouldn't be a negative impact on the participants once they sign up. We still fund a lot of those applicants. And one of the good things about Mississippi, Frank, that helps with groups like you all is that you all help us have a good implementation rate. These dollars follow states that when you implement your program. So when you have a high implementation rate, that means that people are entering your program. That means that they are actually putting them on the ground, and there's a great need. And when we get out at the end of the day, when other states can't implement their projects and things, and Mississippi has spent their money early on, then there's an opportunity for us to get more money. So I strongly want to encourage folks to make sure when they sign those contracts, that they are ready to implement those things, and they need to do that within the first year. And I want to tell you that at one time we led the nation. Right now we're number two. Now, I don't mind being number one on anything. And so we're going to work hard to get our implementation rate up because if you're leading the nation that's implementing, that means that you have a need out there from the constituent group, and that means they're interested in the program, that means they're doing what they need to do in order to continue to get funding. So thank you all for the effort. And anything you can do to help us to make sure people understand the importance that once they sign a contract, get that contract on the ground, because the longer they wait on that contract getting on the ground, material prices go up and so forth and so on, and then that primarily will stop them from getting on the track. Because we're going to do a cost share, and we have this practice price list, and we're only going to pay so much. But if we do a contract for some certain amount, and then the price of material go up, and we saw it in last year, you guys probably see it every day out here as farmers. You're looking at the price of material, fence posts and wires and things that make it go up. So as soon as you get that contract implemented, the better off that you're going to get a fair share rate, because we set a some certain amount in the very beginning. But if you wait 10 or 11 months and the price goes up, we do not have the authority to go back and increase that price based on what the price of the material is. So that's why I try to encourage people. If you can get that contract implemented within the first 3-5 months, as weather conditions permit, get it done.
Okay. Oh, Wilson, you talked about it earlier today in terms of the outreach meetings that we have had, in terms of where are other outreach meetings being planned for the upcoming month? Anything on schedule now?
What we do, we do on SharePoint. We do have our upcoming meetings, and we place that on SharePoint. But we also get emails concerning that, because the counties will let you know. I can't pinpoint off my head, but we will be having those meetings, you know, all during the year. They're ongoing.
Let me just add to that one thing, Frank, that even Wilson is going to get involved with this right here, just coming out of pipe. We've made a conscientious decision that on April the 4th, there will be a statewide outreach meeting that will be held in Greenwood, Mississippi, and I'll be calling upon your group to get some producers there. And what we plan to do is to have in the Greenwood Coliseum all of the agencies there, whereby the folks that they can go around from agency to agency to find out about their program. So on April the 4th, that's when that plan takes place. So I'm working with folks like Senator George, Mike Sullivan, and other folks there to make sure that takes place. So that, stay tuned on that piece, and we'll be getting that to you before too long. But that's probably the next big push that we'll have in Mississippi. Congressman Thompson has agreed to be there. We've invited our Undersecretary Harris Sherman. And we just want to make sure that everybody in the state of Mississippi is aware of our programs, that they know they're available. And so we're going to need to put a push on that. We're going to need groups like yourself out there to help us get folks there. That's April the 4th in Greenwood, Mississippi. And we'll be getting you a tentative agenda on that pretty quickly.
And I didn't mention the Small Farm Conference, the annual Small Farm Conference, with the partnership of Alcorn State University Extension and the Mississippi Association of the Cooperative. That meeting will be in March 25th.
Through 28th,
yeah. That meeting is coming. That's an opportunity for us to reach a lot of people as well.
And that meeting will be held in Greenville, Mississippi.
In Greenville, Mississippi, at Harlow's.
Okay, and then if anyone does need more information on that, you can call the Mississippi Association at 601-354-2750. You can visit at Alcorn State University online. And you can also find other information. And if you apply for a scholarship, you can make sure that you have put your $25 in by the 28th of this month. So that is next week. So, again, that's a great club, Wilson, for Alcorn State University. They handle the Small Farmers Conference there. We do have some upcoming outreach meetings. There will be one in Lee County in a couple of weeks, I think on the 6th there of March, and also over in Kemper County here next door. However, as we continue this discussion about getting people involved, I think it's one of the key issues that we need to talk about in terms of understanding how local groups, and let's talk about the LWG, the local work group, and how do we give it up the resource concern so people understand how that actually occurs.
Well, Frank, there are three voting members, per se, but let me just tell you how you get things changed at your local work group. That's an open meeting. You can come there, and that's how the resource concerns are actually elevated. In the state of Mississippi, we have five, you know, water quality, water quantity, soil erosion. Those are the types of things that we have from a statewide perspective. But I think that the local folks need to go to those local work group meetings and talk about what their needs are, because what has happened in the state of Mississippi, they have the flexibility at the local work groups to address the resource concerns that they have. That's nothing that I said or any member of my team from the state office. If the system come out and they say, well, we want to spend our money on water kids, or we want to spend our water on money on grazing land, if they come to those local work group meetings, that's when they have an opportunity to influence the type of how the money will be spent in those affected areas. So make sure that they participate. It's an open participation. And I, you know, hate to use the term other than this, what I've always been accustomed to, the quicker we'll get to grief. If you come out there and you let folks know, okay, we have a resource concern right here that's not being addressed, then there's an opportunity then that if that resource concern is not being addressed, or the money's not being spent on that, that's the opportunity you can get some of those things changed, because those folks have an opportunity at the local level, at the county level, to decide how they're going to spend their money that they receive in the state. And what I've done in the state of Mississippi is to give those local counties their money. You know, rather than saying, okay, state office come down there, we divvy up the money in the various counties, you know, $200,000 or $300,000 to go to each county, and that local work group has the opportunity to do that. I believe in the process, a local led process, because the local folks know more and they know better what their needs are than I in Jackson, Mississippi, or the folks in Washington, D.C. So I truly support the volunteer local led process.
We're broadcasting live this morning here at the Louisville Coliseum at the Wisconsin Sixth Federal American Conference. And we are presently interviewing Dr. Homer Wilkes, the state conservationist for the state of Mississippi, and Mr. Luther Murray, the outreach specialist for the state of Mississippi. And we're talking about this various issues and also the services that are available for landowners to the Natural Resource Conservation Service, most people know it as ACNM, NRCS. And that is the agency that provides financial, and we talk about it, it's no longer cost, but it's financial assistance to help individuals implement particular practices on the farm. And I don't know how many practices, I looked at one time, Homer, and it's just a whole variety of practices that people can obtain through the NRCS. Wilson, I want to say, if a first-time user of the services, what is they would need to do if they're not, have not ever used the service of USDA? What they need to do?
Well, you can, if you haven't used the service of USDA, you can go by, especially to the office. You can fill out your application. You can, but you got to make sure that your place is registered with Farm Service Agency. Once that your farm is registered with Farm Service Agency, you fill out that application, you go there, and you can self-certify if you are part of the historically underserved, which you can self-certify, and then you can go from there.
Frank, I just want to add to that, you know, Wilson plays a very vital role here in the state of Mississippi. I will tell you that, you know, we had former Chief Dave White, who's actually left. Now we have acting Chief Jason Weller. And one of the things that Jason Weller, I'll have to applaud him, is that he said that one of the things that he really wants to do is to increase the participation of socially disadvantaged and limited resource farmers. And I think the groups out here will make them not only walk the walk, but talk, not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. And you do that by making sure people sign up for our particular program. You know, Wilson talked about getting that farm number. One of the things, Frank, and I know what this group has done throughout UL outreach and efforts, is that it's important that we have CBOs and groups like yourself out there, because you all the one that can go out in the, behind the back 40, for lack of better words, and bring in people to the table that will never heard of NRCS or any other USDA. And once we get them there, once you get them there, we can actually tell them what the eligibility requirements are and so forth. That makes us, you know, and I tell people all the time, don't ever determine themselves whether they're eligible for a program or not. Let us tell you if they're not eligible. You need to show up and make sure that that's taking place. And if that's taking place, and if you aren't able to participate in this particular program, then let's try another one. And one of the first things that I would tell anybody, don't go there asking for a pond or asking for anything particular. Ask for a conservation plan. And what happens then is that that particular district conservation team provides a technical system, can walk your home place and can determine what are the practices and things that you need. You talked about the number of practices we have out there, Frank. We have just a whole plethora of practices out there. But let me just tell you something. If we don't have a practice, if you have a resource concern out there and we don't have a practice address, we can add that practice. It's a moving target. So, I mean, this thing is not static. We can increase the ones that we are actually utilizing, and the ones that are not there, we can do away. That's not being utilized, we can do away with them. But the first thing you want to do is get the folks to come to the meetings like you've been working on and getting them to do. Once they get to those people meetings, they can ask the questions like some of the folks had today to find out about these various programs. But what we do, I tell people all the time, what they have to do is get them to dance. And once they get to the dance, then they can determine what they want to dance with us based through our program participation, things of that nature.
Okay. Excellent. Another sound here, Homer and Wilson, that is, you said that you already extended the sign-up. Now, how would that affect the April 19th Will that be an extension of, will that be a short period of window?
Well, no. The thing is that we can have, let me say, I want to make sure I clear this myth up. We have a continuous sign up. You can sign up any time of year at our programs. I'll go in and sign up. What we have is ranking period. And the issue that we talk about, the ranking period was supposed to have been this past week. So we extended the ranking period so we can actually take care of those folks who may be doing clinic weather or some other things out there that they're not getting this job done. But no, it will not shorten the sign up period. I tell people that we can sign up and then we will be known as these batching periods where we will have to take the applicants that we have and rank those. And we have a cutoff date that we that application that we receive prior to cutoff date, they'll be in batch and then we will rank those. But anybody can go in all year, any time of the year and sign up for our program. And then we just have more or less a batching period. We'll have a some 30 days. Let's take the answer we were going to take from January or until March 19th. That would be that batching date, and we will rank those applicants. And then any application that came in after the 19th, then they will be ranked in the next batch. So I don't want to confuse them not having the ability to sign up. They can sign up any time that they want to sign up, but it's just that NRCS, we primarily will rank back those applications so we can rank them. So we can fund those, and then once we go down to that funding pool, the next batching period, we'll see how much dollars we have, because oftentimes we may have contracts out there that people do not implement, and then we can put that money back into the coffers so we can make sure that the next list of folks will have a chance to participate, because we don't want to leave anything on the table in these contracts.
All right, Harvey Wilson, is there other comments that you would like to make to our listeners? Of course, today, this program is recorded in perpetuity. It's there in the cloud. And is there anything else that you want to extend before we bring this topic in? Just closing comments for her?
Well, I'm going to say what I said earlier, I guess, in one of the meetings. And that is, we talked about this operation today as being the sixth annual Save Rural America Conference. But when we talked about the first conference, the other conferences were not even anywhere on site. And I think for this month, the month of February, we've talked to over 600 people about our program. Right. I think that that's progress. And as Homer just stated, we are now, we don't see our programs in practice as one size fits all. We know that there are characteristics that will shape what we can do for different groups, policy, economic, social standing, and those kinds of things. And we see that, and then we have more and more people able to take advantage of our program. And that's a good thing. The fact that we talked to that many folks in February means that we're making progress.
But still, I'd like to say this because I tell you what, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And as I sit here today, and as I told you guys, I had a prepared speech, but this audience was just, it does my heart good to see that folks out there really, really trying to develop and work for the future. And I just want to talk about a little thing. You know, it's impossible to develop future leaders of tomorrow without providing them with a solid education. And I think that's what you all are doing here through this Winston Self-Help Corporation. When it's time to pass the torch, you know, the torch, they got to be ready. And the only way you can get them ready is by training them. And I see that you all are doing that, you know, every day, the endeavor that you all do, the opportunities you are affording them to look at those things like people have a tendency to do what they see you do. That's why it's so important that adults carry themselves in a moral and adult-like manner, because our children, our grandchildren will actually emulate what they see us do. And what you all are doing here is actually showing them the way of the future. You're showing them a way of life. You're showing them how to sustain themselves. So through education, through information, and information and education is very powerful. And the tools that you all and how you all operate is a very, very powerful tool. So I'm elated to know that we have a good chance of future generations to continue to sustain themselves, because as I look around and we sit around the table here, all of us that over 50, at least over 40, are looking at a situation whereby we're not going to be out here forever. So we have to have someone to pass the torch to. And through the endeavors that you all are making, we'll have someone to pass that torch to. So keep on keeping on, as folks will say in my church. Keep on keeping on.
Well, all of them, we appreciate that. And I And absolutely, he was here for our first Sacred Rose Marriage Conference. I thank you all for being here this morning. We'll take care of time. And most certainly, we thank you for being a true partner and bringing the peace time to speak at one of the conferences we had here. And it's just been an overwhelming relationship. I can assure you that I would not file for a divorce from the LRG. We'll be married for eternity. So we just want to continue to help parlay that relationship with other individuals and our children home. One individual read the article on Mr. and Mrs. Miller up in the northern part of the state, up in a place called Walnut, Michigan. And a gentleman called me on four or five occasions. And he wanted to get the service, but he had never been in the USDA office there. And so I made a decision one day, went up for an Irish meeting that we had in Prentice County. And we left Prentice County and we went over to Walnut and went to his farm. And then we got a copy of his deed and we carried it down to USDA and we got it signed up there in Pima County. And that's a part of us working collectively together to share the wealth with all individuals. Wherever they may be, we meet them where they are and to get them engaged in the process.
Well, Frank, you know, the thing is that is so important. You know, this kind of soaks me up because the thing is, as I'm getting old, I'm getting a passion for making sure. I always have a passion for conservation, but I'm beginning to have this innate passion for helping people, and I see that in you every day. You know, the good book talks about going into the byways and highways and finding those that are lost. You're taking this on not only just this is your ministry, and I think if you are delivering that and you're making sure that the folks that, as Lanny Smith, the deceased Lanny Smith, will always say, just trying to help folks who don't have nothing. You know, we talk about limited resource farming, folks disadvantaged, folks have a tendency to not understand what that means. All that means is just helping folks who don't have as much as other folks. And we need to continue to do those type of things out there. Because, you know, this land is not ours, but anything we can do to improve upon it and make sure it's less readily available for future generations. I think that one day we're going to give an account for this. And if we do the right thing for the right reason, maybe we'll get the word that well done, well done.
All right, thank you very much, Sister Wilk. And thanks to your wife, Kimberly, for coming up with you today. Thank you, Wilson Murray, for having in here. And I want y'all to go in, and we do have food there in the kitchen. And listen, most of it is locally grown on the farm here. And so we're going to keep this process moving, okay?
No problem. Thank you very much for this opportunity. And I'll work hard to see if I can, maybe we can get the chief type in. If you can afford me an opportunity, I'll have him to call in and do an interview because I want to make sure he put the word out to the countryside that his goals and things are of the NRC. So I think he'll do it.
Well, absolutely. Homer, we want you to know this is the only radio show that's dedicated to help save rural America and integrated with USDA. This is the only network, and it's here with us through NRCS, the West County Self-Help, and others to deliver the word constantly and daily, uninhibited by any other aspect in order to give the word out about the natural resource.
Thank you very much, Mr. Taylor. Without vision, things people will perish, and you and this cooperative have a vision.
All right, thank you very much. As we continue the process, we're going to bring in Ms. C. Harper, the youth director of the West County Self-Help Cooperative, and we're going to let her give us some comments to the mic. And we want to thank her for putting forth an effort. And we just want her to give us some comments in terms about what she thinks about the 2013 conference.
I am so happy. It's been an honor to serve this year. The youth, we had great participation. It was a blessing to be able to partner with the high school and the Head Start. We had an average over 340 youth this year. And we can give ourselves a pat on the back. Our youth are our future, and our goal is to train, teach sustainability to our youth. So in the future, we plan to do more programs, and we invite people to come out and join the Winston County Self-Help Cooperative Youth Group. We are moving forward.
And Ms. Hoff, if someone will pull out contact, what number is Tom?
You can contact me at 662-312-8004. 662-312-8004.
And talk about some of all of your other partners that were involved with the business. I know you partnered with the local extension office. Who else did you partner with?
Partnered with the local high school, Head Start.
Okay, then, you partnered with all folks at University of Jackson State, East Central Community College, and this is the state and other institutions that have the recruiters over here on this state. I know you want to get over there and give you kudos for being here and delivering and also ascertaining the needed information in order for them to help these students for their university.
Yes, we would certainly like to thank all forms, East Central Junior College, Jackson State. And we did contact Mississippi Valley. We're hoping in the future that they will be able to come and just bring information to our youth about their school that should be built out youth encouragement. The need to go to college, what it takes to go to college. We need to teach our children the necessary steps to take. And we are starting now at Head Start, trying to put some roots to our youth so that they can gain knowledge and learn to appreciate
applesauce. All right, Ms. Hobson, what other events? I know that I was here this weekend. Read and I've seen that you all are working collectively with the Mike Skipper and the extension office on a race event. Mark, tell us about that and how that's done to matriculate out this year.
Okay, the youth will be
participating
in this garden. And Master Gardeners will be working with them, trying to teach them how to grow, what to grow, and what they can do with the things that they can learn to market. And most of all, learn them to work, learn them to respect each other, and work together as a team.
All right. Well, that is great, Ms. Hopper. Again, for the individual who likes to contact and wants to have some help, youth leader, you can call Ms. Hopper at 662-312-8004. All right, Joseph Hopper, again, we want to thank you for the excellence you and all the other youth directors here with Wisconsin Business Group for a wonderful planned conference. I'm hopeful that you might take the energy into 2014 and think about perhaps having another conference here in Wilmington. That will be the 7th state in Wilmington, and you come here in Louisville, Mississippi. And we just want to thank you again and continue the good work. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, so I suppose that we're beginning to wrap it up here at the Louisville Coliseum here for September 6th. Saving World of Agriculture. They got one more individual coming in. I thought that Denisha Gladney, I thought she may have had to come in and she wanted to talk with us. But however, we just want to thank everybody. I had a great time being here. We want to thank Big Coop, Strunk, Super, Harrison Soul Food, all the individuals, Subway, everybody who participated here and making this a successful conference. If you want more information about the Wisconsin Cooperative Cooperative, you can go on our website at wcsht.com, or you can call our office number, it's 602-779-2400. And that is the Wisconsin Cooperative Cooperative. And this organization is committed to help save rural America. And we are trying to get it done, and we're winding it down here. And we want to thank all our listeners for listening in over this series of work conferences for the past month. And we just want to thank each and everybody for listening in on those Saturdays. And we may look forward to broadcasting next week from over in Linden, Alabama, for their first FIA Rural American Council. So continue to listen to our show. God, if all is in your Lord's will, we'll see you back here real soon. So what's God's help to save rural America?
Woo!
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much.